Welcome to Unyielded, thriving no matter what. In a world of constant change and challenges, it can seem hard to keep up, no matter how hard we run. Yet we all know those people who seem to handle everything with grace and grit. Seemingly, nothing throws them off their game. They are engaged in what matters most to them, they are achieving the success they desire. In other words, they are creating the life they love to live, no matter what challenges and surprises show up. We call them Unyielded. My name is Bobby Kaler, and I'm your host, and I'm so excited to be on this journey with you. I mentioned that it's a journey, and you might find yourself anywhere along that path. You may be starting out, you may be mid-career, or considering your next career. You could be an entrepreneur, a salesperson, or you may be that person who just feels like something else is calling to you, and it's time for a change. My mission is to provide stories that inspire us, so that when a surprise shows up and threatens to derail us, we will choose to persist. I will also provide practical skills, perspectives, and ideas that will help us create the habits of thriving and flourishing. Because at the end of the day, it is all about providing hope, knowledge, and assurance that we can all be more fulfilled and successful if we choose. Let's get right to today's episode. My guest story today is about discovering and following a call with the recognition of what's at stake if he didn't. And it's woven together with themes of family, faith, and perseverance. About 8 years ago, he jumped out of a successful career in corporate America to become a landscape designer and home and garden blogger. That sounds kind of random and crazy, right? But not really. Although his corporate career reflected his academic pedigree, it didn't reflect who he was and how he was uniquely gifted or wired. In his own words, he was kind of dying on the vine. In contrast, today he helps families transform their exterior spaces to reflect how they uniquely want to live at home, bringing him life through the process. You could say that the title of his story and the name of his company are the same, Redeem Your Ground. His name is Doug Scott, and I cannot wait for you to meet him.
Well, Doug, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor, and I'm really looking forward to reconnect with my friend.
Oh, nice. I know every time we get together, I love our conversations. We've known each other for quite a while now.
We have. So you and I worked together at Aslan for a number of years. I don't know how many years before I left, 7 years ago. Probably three?
Well, I joined in 2008.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least, let's just say over 10 years.
Over 10 years. Yeah. I still remember when you flew me down to Atlanta to meet with you before I started officially working and we had that lunch. I've never laughed so hard in my life as I did on that lunch. And that was way back, August of 2008.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, there you go. Well, that's how long we've known each other.
Yeah.
So it's been 12 and a half years. Yeah. Fun is always something that Aslan had and still has, I'm sure, in spades.
That's
so
right.
Part of the reason working with y'all.
Yeah. So you mentioned it. You made a pretty big change about 7 years ago.
I did.
Tell us a little bit about that and what led to it.
Oh, man. So a lot led to it. So just to jump to the chase, I left 7 years ago to launch a company called Redeem Your Ground, which is both a landscape design firm and a family home and garden blog. But there was a lot that happened prior to my jumping out of corporate America. I had been with Aslan, which is, if you know Bobby, it's a sales and training, a sales coaching and training company, had been there for 10 years. I joined one of my best friends, old roommate there, and one of his close friends, and all of us, just got closer and closer as we worked together. And my wife and I thought that was going to be, the place where we would land and stay. But then I would say probably, 7, 8 years into it, I realized that I was still doing what I started doing there, which is kind of more of an operations role and kind of an internal role. And so I thought, oh, well, maybe it's just because I'm not connecting with people as much. So I'm just not, I'm kind of, not shooting on all cylinders or whatever the expression is. So I kept plugging along. That didn't change, but then I literally felt like a raisin. There's no juice left in me. And so probably 2 years or so prior to leaving Aslan, I really started to consider, you know, well, maybe this isn't my landing place, that maybe there's something bigger, different, better, not better than Aslan because Aslan's bad, but better for me personally.
That's right.
So that started a long process of a lot of thought, a lot of reading, a lot of praying, a lot of conversations with other people to really try to discover what it was that I was really uniquely created to do. And I believe that we're all uniquely created to do something with certain strengths. And I'm a middle child, and as many middle children will do at times, they're the bridge builders, the gap fillers. And so you have a lot of learned skills and gifts because that's what you have to do to fill gaps sometimes. And so it was tough for me to really discern what it was that I was able to uniquely do in a way that would not only sustain me, but put me in a place of being able to thrive. And I wasn't thriving. As I said, I was a shriveled up raisin. And so that's what I was trying to discover. So like I said, I read a number of books. I read of, you know, Good to Great. I read all the Marcus Buckingham stuff. I read a book called The Call by Oz Guinness. Just, you'll probably hear this throughout this podcast, but you know, my faith is a real kind of central part of who I am. And so I leaned a lot on that during this process. And Oz Guinness' book, The Call, it really kind of played a really pivotal role for me. And, you know, obviously the name of the book is The Call. So it's, you know, people self-select to read it that are looking for what their call in life is. And so I think you and I, as you and I have discussed, if Oz Guinness was listening to this, he'd probably tell me I'm butchering what he was trying to say, but I got it. Was, you know, you need to do what you're called to do, you know, and he kind of talks about the importance of doing that. And if you don't know what you're called to do, what are you gifted at? Well, as I just said, I knew what I was gifted at, but I wasn't certain what those things were that were kind of naturally kind of being made to do, gifts and skills, or were they learned skills? And so they said, okay, if you're that person, the last chapters really kind of suggest that, well, if you don't really know what your natural giftings are, there's a good chance that those people that are close to you see it for what they really are. So what is it that the people that are close to you call you about in order to help them or to connect with them on? And I could answer that fairly quickly. People call me about being a dad because they're struggling about being a dad. People call me about being a husband because they're struggling about being a husband. Or they call about what do they want to do in their backyard? You know, how do I prune my, because that's what I found myself doing all the time. And, wow. And I guess people, you know, saw that they've been in my outdoor spaces and saw that I created something beautiful back there. And so I was like, okay, great, God, what do I do?
Set up a council.
But that?
It's like, what do I do with this combination?
What do I set up a counseling booth in the back of my back? And so, but that's kind of, that really kind of started to go deeper there I started trying to discover more. I started proactively looking for that in my life. But I also, as I did that, I started to recognize patterns in my life prior to that. And what I mean by that is at Aslan, like I said, I was kind of dying on the vine. And to help me go to sleep at night when I'm not in a good place, what I would do is I'd literally go, okay, what am I going to do outside this weekend? What am I going to do with my girls outside this weekend? What can I build? What can I grow? And it was kind of my self-medication. But then when things were good, it was also the thing that I would go to sleep thinking about, okay, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to this. I'm in a good place, but I had the energy to do this. So I saw that it was something that I was naturally doing. And so that kind of started to help me make sense of myself. And also kind of in that self-discovery in my times of reading and again of prayer and thought, I realized that what it kind of boiled down to is I feel like that I'm uniquely gifted to be able to see the potential of people and the potential of spaces and to be able to connect those dots in a way that will help bring life to those people. That's where Redeem Your Ground started to really start to take root, pardon the pun, about, you know, helping other people basically do what I've done in my backyard in a way that brings me life, but get to know them to the point to recognize that what I do in my backyard may not be what they want to do in their backyard, or what I do in my backyard may not bring them life. I have chickens. That may be the death toll for the average person. But for me, it brought me life. So, you know, discover what it is that you want to do outside that brings you and your family, and let's design that and make sure that happens back there. And so I would say, so Oz Guinness, the call, was really kind of one of those things that were pivotal to me in helping me understand myself and also discover a little bit more about myself. I would also say being a dad made me take me a little bit more seriously and what I'm supposed to be doing a little more seriously. And what I mean by that is, so I have two daughters. They're now 17 and 14, but back then they were 7 years younger.
Yeah.
So whatever that is, 7 and 10. And actually, this was probably 2 years before that, so probably 5 and 8. My wife and I would do our typical routine of one of us would, you know, tuck one in and say their prayers while the other one was tucking the other one and saying their prayers. But we didn't want the other to, you know, feel left out. So once that was done with one daughter, we would pass each other in the dark hallway to go at least just kiss the other one goodnight. And I remember, like it was yesterday, and it wasn't, I had just tucked in my youngest, Meredith. And my consistent prayer for both my girls has always been that they would discover who they were wonderfully and beautifully and uniquely created to be, and that they would embrace that, and that that's what they would pursue because that's who they are, not because they wouldn't pursue something just because that's what they thought mommy and daddy wanted to do. And also because they're my daughters, I want them to be, you know, just very independent and strong women. And so those were my prayers. And I remember after praying that for Meredith, really just rubbed shoulders with Brittany on the way down the dark hallway. And I was just stopped in my tracks, almost literally. It's like, you hypocrite. I'm like, what, God, what? How do you expect your daughters to discover and then pursue what it is they were uniquely created to do if you weren't doing that yourself?
Yeah.
And that was really the thing that I think put teeth in my need to jump out of corporate America. Yes, it was for me, but now it had a lot more weight because now I realized it was more for them. I wanted their trajectory to be one that was different than mine. I didn't want them to be, you know, 40 something before they discovered who they were and had to take the big jump that I had to take. And so I would say that was the other thing. And again, I mentioned faith earlier. There was one other thing that really, I think, stuck with me. I got this devotion on my inbox one day, and it was written by a guy, another Oz. This one's Oz Hillman. The scripture about it was in Ephesians 5, 16, 17, or 15, 17. Be very careful how you live your life, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. But the title of his devotion was Redeem Your Day. And right then, God said, redeem your ground. What you have done in your backyard, you've redeemed the ground I've given you to bring life to your family. And I want you to help others redeem their ground so they can bring life to their families. And that day, that was the day that I went out and bought ground.com. And I've talked a lot. I don't know if that I've said what you wanted me to say or whatever, Bobby. So feel free to ask questions or prod me in one direction or another.
Okay. There's a lot of good stuff there, Doug. I remember, Doug, when we were talking before, you mentioned that prayer with Meredith.
Yeah.
And just,
yeah.
It seemed like that was a real, I don't know, tap on the shoulder moment for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was no doubt. It was more of a tap. It was kind of like both fists on both shoulders, you know. yeah. Again, I mean, I'm the type of person I am, I try to live very intentionally and in a very genuine way. And basically feeling like I was called out as a hypocrite is completely counter to who I want to be and how I want to live. And particularly when it has, you know, ramifications, it could potentially and it certainly would, you know, how we parent and what we model for our kids completely, you know, direct their trajectories. And so that was, you know, I mean, I take being a dad very seriously. And so, yeah, God, I think, knew that, you know, again, you know, Bobby, being the middle child, we're easy. And let me just say that we are both middle children in dysfunctional families. And so in that, you know, we can easily look beyond ourselves, and we can also, because of the kind of dysfunction, we're survivors. And so I can last a long time doing something that I don't need to be doing or aren't having a lot of fun with. Right. Yep. But then when you layered on, well, wait a second, Doug, what about your kids? You know, mm-hmm. How's this affect kids? And then I'm like, oh, wait a second. Okay. I can do that for me, and it's probably unhealthy and dysfunctional, but I can't put them at risk. No. So yeah, it was a huge wake up call for me.
Yeah.
Because I want them to truly discover who they are, and I want them to pursue that in all ways. And if anything I was doing could jeopardize that, I needed to pivot.
Yeah.
So that was huge.
Because what an amazing gift as a parent to give to your kids, right? Find what you're meant to do, or what makes your heart sing, or whatever, you know? And it resonated too when you said, you know, as a middle child, you get used to filling those gaps. And, you know, you can be good at a lot of things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it makes you happier, that makes your heart sing, or, you know, whatever that might be for you. Yeah. And you mentioned that you read a lot of Marcus Buckingham books too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love Marcus Buckingham, and he actually came to my grad school and spoke to our class, which was so, I can't even tell you how amazing that was. But the thing that he spoke about, you know, a strength is not just something that you're good at. It's something that gives you energy. And that's what I was hearing when you're talking about, you know, when you talked about like feeling like a raisin. I mean, what a good word picture and bad word picture all at the same time.
It's a good word picture painting a bad situation.
Yeah. And another point about that too, I had someone on my show, God, about a month ago. And she was talking about kind of similar for her. She's like, the company was great. My coworkers were great. It just didn't, it just didn't fit her. And that's okay. And I think a lot of times we say, yeah, but it's a good company, or yeah, but I work with great people. So we think that something must be wrong with us versus maybe the fit's not right.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, and again, it's the whole learned skills and, you know, kind of being okay. And frankly, you know, Bobby, this may resonate with you. Not only being okay with kind of unhealthy dysfunction, actually looking for it. You know what I mean? Because that felt good. That felt natural. And I had to recognize that just because that's how a good part of my life had gone doesn't mean that that's what I was destined for. That wasn't where I needed to sit. That was and continues to be a lesson for me. So I mean, that kind of just came to me as we were talking, but I felt like there was a good bit of that. There was a good bit of what wasn't right felt right. I don't know if that's being too deep, but.
No, that really caught my attention. It makes, like, I want to hear more about what you mean by it, because that's resonating for me.
Well, I mean, so again, and I'm not one to, you know, go wham, wham, my childhood, right? But I think that there's a lot that you can learn about who you are now based on kind of how you were, how the winds blew your life when you had little control of it as you were a child, when you were a child. And my winds at time were quite kind of tumultuous. Mm-hmm. And there was not a lot of, let me just say, it wasn't characterized where I was the carefree kid with, you know, what am I going to do today? I'm going to go and skip rocks and look for worms. You know, I mean, it was serious, you know, things had a consequence. Every day seemed to have a consequence. And so when you contrast that with when things are going well and things seem to be going your way, that seems a little foreign. And when something's foreign, like, oh, wait, I want to go back over here where it's not. It might not feel good, but it feels normal. Does that make more sense?
Absolutely. Here's what this is why I love talking with you, Doug. I swear, over the weekend, I was thinking about, like, literally within the last couple of days, how, you know, challenge and working hard and overcoming has been such a part of my story for such a long time that it's like, well, what if there's nothing to fix right now? Like, and then it almost creates anxiety. It's like, well, what do you mean? That's what I do.
Right.
I kind of hear the same thing. I think that's kind of what you're talking about.
Again, we were separated at birth at some point.
I really think so. Oh, yeah. So that was like, that was big. That really resonated for me. Yeah. It had to be unsettling for you. Cause I know the other thing that you talked about when we talked before was like, when you're making a change like this, it can't be a knee jerk reaction.
No. Yeah, I think that I think when I mentioned that earlier, it's had I jumped when I just felt, you know, uneasy, had I jumped when maybe I discovered some things of my who I was and what I needed to be, but it was kind of half baked. Had I done that then, either of those times, I feel like I would not have survived the jump. It really took you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I wouldn't change a thing. And I feel like I'm doing exactly what I'm doing. But are things going, you know, going on all cylinders? No. But there are different things that aren't going on all cylinders. In other words, it's all about, you know, making a business work, right? Those are the things that aren't, you know, whereas before those were the things that were going well, you know, I was getting a paycheck and, you know, I could get at night and I had money to go on vacations. I had money to do this. I had kids, blah, blah, blah. You know, all that stuff was going right, but it was dying inside. Well, now everything, I'm not dying inside at all, but there's, you know, there's struggles, but they're struggles that aren't affecting that. I'm not a raisin anymore. I'm, you know. I, you know, life is a bundle of grapes or wine.
Yay.
Yay. Exactly. And so back to your question and the point I was making earlier, had I jumped before I really felt like I had come to grips with what I was supposed to do. And I will say felt affirmed by people in my life that I talked to about what I was planning on doing. And as I was communicating the vision, as I was communicating my call, literally seeing people take a breath and some people even tear up. Now, and not necessarily people that would tear up because, oh, Doug, I'm so happy for you, but because of what I was saying made them pause and consider, where do I need to be? What do I need to do? And it wasn't even necessarily my story. It was the story that Doug took for his life. It was, what is Redeem Your Ground hoping to do for people? And, you know, the word ground, and I'm kind of going off on rabbit trails. I apologize. That's what I do. But the word ground in Redeem Your Ground. Yeah. You can take it literally, like truly like the dirt, right? But you can fill in the blank. You know, ground is such a kind of a fill in the blank kind of term. You know, redeem your life, redeem your day, redeem your marriage, redeem your parenting, redeem your home, right? And so when I would tell the story, it's like what I want to do is help people realize the dream that they had when they bought their first home or when they got married and they had envisioned, you know, this beautiful space where, you know, you're running around with butterflies and flowers and all that kind of stuff. Taking them back to what their dreams were for what life could look like as a young family. But then life happened and it stopped them and those dreams weren't realized. And so that's when, you know, that's kind of part of the affirmation as I was telling my story, not only the Doug story, but kind of reflecting on what I wanted to help people do. I could just see that it resonated with people in their heart and their mind. And then also I just felt affirmed by God that this is what I was supposed to do. As I started to kind of discover more things about who I was, again, back to my, you know, prayer for my daughters, you know, that's who I was created to be. I need to do that. Yeah. And had I not had that kind of level of affirmation, it would have been easy for me to jump. It would have been easy for me to get derailed. It would have been easy for me to get depressed. I mean, all kinds of things. Not that I didn't verge on some of that stuff, but it was just the assurance that I was doing what I was created to do that has kept me here.
And that's powerful when you feel that assurance.
Yep. It has been in my life for sure.
Well, when we talked before, you said something and I wrote it down because it hit me so much. You said, despite all the challenges, because anytime you're starting a new venture, there are challenges. I mean,
no question.
You know, but you said, despite all the challenges and obstacles, whatever, you know, God hasn't released me from the call.
So during those times where I was struggling financially or things weren't happening as they had, you know, as I would want them or as quickly as I would want them to. You know, there have been certainly some times where I literally in my times of prayer with God, it's like, God, take this from me. If this isn't where you want me to be or what you want, take it from me. And he hasn't released me from it. This whole experience has really been to pursue what I feel like he's called me to do. And so if he's not calling me to do it anymore, you know, maybe his call had been to get me to this place and then he's going to redirect. But he hasn't redirected me. He hasn't released me. And so I need to continue to own that call. And I am, and I have, and I will continue.
Very good. I love that. And okay, so that to me begs the question. I don't know the best way to ask this. If it's how do you still feel the call, or how would you know if you were released from the call? You know what I mean?
I think that might present itself differently for different people. But for me, it would probably look similar. Not necessarily the story itself, but the steps of the story would probably look similar. It would take some time for me to wrestle with it, but at a point I would clearly hear that I am to go somewhere else. I'm to do something else. And that's either, you know, again, in times of prayer, or that's in experience. That's in talking to people. But in those times where I said, God, are you releasing me from this? Or do you want to, redirect me? You know, right then and, you know, the next day I would have this amazing, interaction with a client or get some post, you know, some comment on a blog that, you know, somebody I don't even know from, you know, Paducah, Kentucky or, you know, far away that said, oh my gosh, much for doing this or communicating this. It's really helped me and my family do X, Y, and Z. Or I get a picture a text from a client that has a picture on it that looking out their kitchen window and seeing their kids jumping through the sprinklers and on grass. I mean, nothing complicated, right? But the difference is a year ago, before I was with them, she didn't even allow her kids out the door because she was afraid of snakes and afraid of brambles and afraid, you know, her kids didn't go outside. And now she's, you know, now her family has life outside. And that to me, it just continues to be affirmation that, you know, I think you and I have talked, and I'm about to say it. When we spoke last, I mentioned something that you it seemed to resonate with you. But part of what Oz Guinness the call was, what he communicated effectively was, if you do what you're called to do, not only will you bring life to yourself by doing what you're made to be or to do, but you're also bringing life to someone else because you're bringing them something they aren't necessarily gifted at doing or seeing, right? And to me, that's been a particularly, you know, eye-opening thing. And I've been able to see that because when I do work with people and I do see the potential, who they are and the potential of their spaces, what could happen out there, and I connect those dots, I design something, and I communicate it in a way that they can see it, not only visually, but just kind of just the way that I'm able to communicate, I guess. And then see it happen and then watch them walk through that, and that I'd literally brought them life. I mean, that's a huge affirmation for me.
Yeah.
So I think to answer your question, I think that if that started to dry up, or if I heard from God that there was another challenge for me to pursue or another direction for me to pursue. And again, I would hear that as I did before, either through times of prayer or interactions with people or other experiences, you always just have to be aware and you always have to be listening because I feel like God's always saying something. It's just a matter of us tuning in to hear it. And I try to tune in as best I can.
Yeah. There's so much in there, Doug, that I want to explore.
okay.
There is. When you're talking about like the external affirmations, right? Where you get that email out of the blue or, you know, someone responds to a blog post. This summer, I interviewed, his name was Stanton Lanier, and he is a world-renowned pianist now, but he started out in a totally different field. And he talked about when those moments of doubt show up, you get those external affirmations, and it can be tiny, it can be whatever, but that's what I'm hearing there. It's that same type of thing. Like, hey, you're making a difference for me. And those keep us going.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, again, I try to live a very intentional life. And so I think because of the type of person I am, living intentionally, when you see it's both good and bad, when you see or recognize even the smallest of things and even better, bigger things, impact that you have made in your level of intention, you're tuned into it. You can see it. You can feel it. You can recognize it more quickly, I think. But also, it, on the other side, it also leads to when it's not there. You know, you're looking real hard for it, and it can be frustrating. It can just add challenge, right? You work real hard for something. Whereas you contrast with that with somebody that doesn't live as intentionally, A, they're really not looking for something, right? And if they're really not looking for something, if they don't see it, not a big deal. If they do see it, not a big deal, right?
Right.
So living intentionally, I think, allows you to, we'll just focus on the blessing side of it. I think that you're just tuned in. You're tuned in to the objective of that intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing that I heard you say in there, and this is something that I wrote down from our interview or our conversation earlier, you have to have the time to actually listen.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
and that's been, you know, that's been part of, and I think I was talking about that, Bobby, in reference to, you know, some of the kind of personal family struggles, not my wife and daughters and me, but kind of extended family struggles that I've been pulled into since launching Redeem Your Ground. And really, you know, over the past 2 or 3 years, I've now had probably 9 months of not having that. But I found that I didn't have the margin of time, and time is the one that you can kind of point to most specifically. But I didn't have the margin of mental space or heart space. And it was really, really important. And it was actually necessary for when I did take my leap. I went on several personal times away. You know, I think when we talked about last time, you know, one of the things that blessings in my life that has allowed this to happen is I've had my wife, Brittany, has just been completely supportive of all of this. And so, mm-hmm. you know, she gave me the license and gave me the ability to take some time away. And sometimes it was overnights. And that's when I read several of the Marcus Buckingham books. Or sometimes it was like, okay, I have 3 hours and it's a beautiful day. I'm going to go find a cool place to sit. And it wasn't until I stopped to listen that I could hear anything. And so that was critical in order for me to, I think, understand things. And once I understood them, I could own them. And once I owned them, I could do something with them. And now, or, you know, during Redeem Your Ground and during some of the personal time, that was the opposite of that. I couldn't find the time. I didn't have the time. I didn't make the time, which makes it difficult when you're, you know, you're sole proprietor, you know, trying to do your thing. And in the space that I'm in, it's writing, it's designing, and that's all creative. And that's all, you know, bandwidth that you really need to have the bandwidth to be able to do any of those things. And so anyway, I don't know if that was the way you wanted me to answer the question, but yes, margin is critical. And it's not just margin of time, but it's margin of, you know, heart and mind as well, which is why, you know, you kind of look at everything very holistically. So, you know, exercising and eating right and, you know, kind of just being generally healthy. And, you know, and for me, I'm a highly relational person. So, you know, having great relationships and the opposite of that, not toxic relationships. I mean, all those things help create that margin of really more margin of time, not excuse me, margin of heart and mind And mm-hmm. then you just have to find time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because what you're talking about, it's not funny, but what you're talking about there, like all the different pieces, because we always hear, oh, you should be balanced. And I get that. And for some reason, Doug, that word just doesn't mm-hmm. resonate for me. Cause it's like, what, you know, but I was thinking about it in terms of a well-rounded day or a well-rounded week. What would go into that, you know? And it's being outside with nature, you know, spending time with Rick, spending time with Riley, my dog, you know, nurturing relationship, whatever that is. And it can be different for everyone, but what's well-rounded for me? Cause when I feel well-rounded, that's when I feel like I'm at my most creative. I'm at my most energized.
Yep.
But that takes time. Like if we're always at the red line and we don't have margin, those things fall by the wayside.
Yeah, it does. You know? And I used the word earlier. I mean, it takes intention. It takes, you know, and it's a word similar to discipline, but discipline sometimes has this connotation to me that's a little, well, I was going to say harsh, but then I don't want to be viewed as a mamsy-pamsy, but, you know, one that, you know what I mean? I mean, it seems like it's very tasky, I guess, you know, discipline often has this kind of connotation of doing these things, right? Whereas intention, I think, is a broader term that kind of gets to the same place, but it's broader in that it's not just doing, it's being, right? Yeah. And so that's why I like to use the word intention.
Yeah.
If you can be intentional with your time and what you have in the way of, you know, resources, but more than that, kind of your gifts and talents, that I think then you are, like you said, the word, you know, kind of the phrase you used, kind of feeling well-rounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're right. Discipline, it can have that, like, because I've been accused of being disciplined a few times in my life. And it's like, well, it sounds like an accusation. And I heard this definition of discipline, and it was, discipline is simply remembering what's important or what do you want. And to me, that goes a little bit to the intention piece. Because when you know, when you're intentional, I don't know, it's almost like the discipline just comes.
Right. Yeah. So it almost
follows that.
Yeah. Intention kind of gets to the heart and the mind behind what you need. And so that I kind of, and that's, again, you know, I've taken all those personality tests that I'm sure you've taken, you know, Myers-Briggs, Strength Finders, you know, those things. And mine's all about the heart and the reasons behind something, you know, connecting the dots for more than just kind of doing something for something's sake, because that's what everybody seems to be doing. You know, intention to me also gives a little bit more breadth to people that may not have a tasky temperament. Does that make, you know, people that are doers tend to, I think, be able to kind of live a life that looks more disciplined. There are a lot of people out there that are much more kind of creative, much more free flowing. And I think that if you start talking about what's your intention there, I think that they can kind of enter into that a little bit more naturally.
Yeah, I love that, because it does kind of drive, you know, it's kind of at the heart of all of it.
Right. It goes back to, you know, my, you know, prayer for my daughters, you know, my intention is to parent them well so that they, when they leave this house, they're, you know, well-rounded, independent young women who are pursuing things that will bring them life and bring life to others. And so if that's my intention, how do I best do that?
Yeah, I love that. And one thing I'm just dying to ask you, and if this is way too nosy, you can tell me. Have you ever shared that story with Meredith or with both girls about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
About feeling nice. How did they? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, no, so because they heard me pray it all the time, you know, they knew that was, you know, that part of the story, they were part of that story. And so connecting those dots, particularly with Anna Catherine, my oldest, she's my conversationalist. You know, she walks in the room, her mouth is running, but she also likes to engage. So it's not that she just wants to hear herself talk. She's a conversationalist. And so we have a lot of connecting the dots kind of conversations. Mm-hmm. And so it's come up naturally a number of times. And with Meredith, you know, because she was kind of the daughter that was kind of central to that part of that story for me, we've talked a number of times about it. And it's really cool. because I really think that it was important for me to have that conversation with them and to continue to have that conversation with them, because, you know, I could have jumped and just done this random thing, and or what would appear to be random to them, and it would have limited power. They could have seen it, you know, again, kind of just from me modeling it, but it became really powerful once I was saying, well, this, but again, back to intention, this is why I did it. And that puts, you know, that I was going to say put teeth behind it. It doesn't put teeth behind it, puts heart behind it. So we've talked about it. And it also, you know, I mean, I think the other thing, the fact that, you know, we're this season with Redeem Your Ground, I've been, you know, pre-COVID even, I'm at home a lot and I have greater flexibility, which has allowed me, you know, these very critical times of my girls' lives, you know, from elementary school through high school, you know, I've been here and engaged with them. I wouldn't have been before. I mean, when I was at Aslan, Bobby, I mean, I would literally come home and, or on my drive home, I'm like, okay, I have these two young girls. I know they're going to want to play. I literally would say, what can I do when just plopping myself in the middle of the yard and have them run around me? Because I don't have the energy to do anything. I mean, that's where I was. I was this pink, you know, I mean, overweight, you know, not too overweight, but I should say out of shape. This pink, out of shape blob that literally didn't have the mental or physical energy to engage with my girls.
Yeah.
And that has not been the case since leaving Aslan. And again, not because of Aslan, but because of where I've been with Redeem Your Ground. And I also think, you know, them seeing that I've persevered through it, you know, it wasn't like a overnight success. You know, we're still connecting dots and leaning on God and looking forward to what he has in store. You know, I think that's a huge lesson for them as well through all of this.
Yeah,
so
it really is. And what a gift, Doug. I mean, what a gift to you. What a gift to the girls. I mean, that is, I'm just so happy for you. I'm serious.
Thank you. I'm happy for me. I like being happy for me.
Yeah. Wow. So that's just a great, that's perfect. You know, so if someone wants to learn more about Redeem Your Ground or what you're doing or how to get in touch with you, what is the best way?
So if you go to redeemyourground.com, there's a landing page there that you can click on. You can go to our blog, and then within the blog, there's our story section. So if you want to read more about our stories and some of what I've talked about today are on some of those posts. And then you could also go over to the design studio, which is, you know, if you're local to Atlanta, or even I do remote consultations as well. People send, you know, in this age of Zoom. And
that's right.
Sending, I've done a number of remote consultations, but you can find that over on the design studio side of redeemyourground.com. So
nice.
That's probably the way.
Perfect. Yeah. And I think you have the Scott story right there. Like,
yeah.
There's a picture of you and the girls and Brent. I mean, it's great. So, wow. So Doug, once again, thank you so much. This has been great. Any final words that you have for someone who might be listening?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, stop and consider. You are stop and consider. And if you don't know where you're going, consider what you're going to have to post-production this. But you know, you're making decisions every day on where you're going, whether you're intentional about those decisions or not. And I go back to the word intentional, you know, you just be intentional with your everyday, you know, redeem your day. And, you know, it's more than just make the most of it. It's because that seems to have kind of this surfacey kind of connotation to me, but it's own your day. And make the most of it and discover who you are and pursue it. There's a lot of people watching and a lot of people that could benefit from it. Again, to the point we've made a couple times, Bobby, I mean, I really think that if you pursue what you're wired to do and gifted at and called to do, you will bring life to yourself and your family. And as you bring life to other people by doing those unique things, you will be giving them life. And that's a gift to yourself and to whomever you're working with.
Yeah, that is perfect. That was one of my main takeaways. One of the things I just loved from our call earlier. So I think that's a perfect way to end here, Doug.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Bobby, I thank you. I mean, it's kind of humbling and an honor to have a conversation like this. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And this has just been great. And I always love talking to you. I always learn something. So that's perfect.
Yeah. Likewise, my friend.
I hope that you loved that interview as much as I did. I love talking with Doug. Here are some of my favorite takeaways. Number one, finding what your future path is or what your calling is takes work, hard work. Think about it. It took Doug 2 years or so to really be intentional and thoughtful about what this could look like for him and his family. Number two, you need to do what you are called to do or what you are gifted at. I loved when he made the distinction between natural gifts and learned skills. Learned skills are those things that we have learned over time and what we have developed in order to fill gaps or in response to a need. And we can be good at filling gaps, but that doesn't mean that it makes us come alive or that it makes our heart sing. Number three, what brings life to others might not bring life to you, and vice versa. This is why it's so important that we do this work, this thinking for ourselves, because nobody else can do it for us. It has to come from our own unique place, our own unique calling. Number four, I love the prayer that he has for his daughters, and it makes me think, who are you wonderfully, beautifully, and uniquely created to be? I just think that's one of the most beautiful thoughts or dreams or prayers that one human can have for another. Number five, reinvention is not a selfish act. It is giving to you, and it is also giving to those around you. And I think about if we have kids, for our children, is there anything more powerful than that we could role model for them? Number six, when something feels foreign to us, it can make us feel uncomfortable. And uncomfortable isn't bad. It just feels different. And we don't want to make the mistake that discomfort with being something that we need to correct. Sometimes it's just uncomfortable. And that doesn't mean it's bad. Number seven, when you seek to live your true story, you inspire others. Living your story gives life not just to you, but to those around you and those who hear your story. Number eight, pay attention to the small external affirmations that come our way from those that we have served and those that we have positively affected. It helps us through those moments of doubt. They serve to encourage us forward. Number nine, if you do what you are called to do, not only will you bring life to yourself by doing what you are made to do, but you are also bringing life to someone else. And I know I've hinted at this with some of the other takeaways, but I think it's such an important piece of why this is so beneficial to us and those around us. Number 10, it's really hard to hear your calling if you don't have the margin or the time to hear it. Many of us live at the red line, and trust me, I get it. But when we live at the red line, we sort of run the risk of being swept along in the same path that we've always been on. And we just have to be aware of that. And has it simply become our treadmill instead of a real path? Because if it's still a real path that feeds us, fantastic. But if it's just a treadmill that we're trying to just keep up with, maybe we might want to consider something else. Number 11, I loved it when Doug was talking about making the time to hear the calling and the thoughts around that. And he said, once I heard them, I could understand them. And once I understood them, I could own them. And once I owned them, I could do something with them. And here's the thing, this takes time and the white space that goes with it so that our hearts and our minds are open as well. The answer in coaching, we talk about it this way, often the answer comes to us in the quiet, in the silence, in the white space. And if our lives are so at the red line, it's really hard to have that, you know, that time and that white space to hear it and process it. And number 12, you're making decisions every single day about where you are going, whether or not you are making those decisions intentionally. And if that's true, and I believe it is, then I think what that means is we need to be maybe a little bit more intentional and make those decisions with purpose behind them. So again, I hope you enjoyed my interview with Doug. I always love talking to Doug. He always leaves me with something to think about afterwards. And in this case, a lot to think about afterwards. On another note, many of you have already signed up for it, but I just want to remind you, I do have a free guide to the Just Wait voice. What is the Just Wait voice? It is that voice inside of our heads that just as we're about to take action, taps us on the shoulders and says, maybe you should wait. Sometimes people talk about this as a self-limiting, you know, self-limiting beliefs, but those things that get in our way. So I put together, and I've seen it many, many times in coaching, so I've put together a free guide called Exposing the Just Wait Voice. If you want to take a look at it, please download it. It's totally free. It's just at unyielded.net/goalkiller. Again, this has been the Unyielded Podcast, where our mission is to bring stories that inspire you. Stories that provide hope and maybe a path forward so that as you're along your journey, you can find ways to continue to grow and, more importantly, continue to grow in the direction that you want to go. I was recently a guest on a podcast the other day, and I was reminded of something that Rick and I did years and years ago when we said, let's set out to create the life we love to live every single day. Not 2 weeks a year, but all 52 weeks out of the year. And I think that's what we can all have. So I'm hoping that this podcast gives you some inspiration and maybe some ways forward. And if you found this podcast helpful, this episode, please consider leaving us a review, as well as sharing it with a friend and subscribing. Be sure to tune in next week where we provide more stories of growth and triumph.